Good afternoon. It's All Things Considered on 90.7 WFAE. I'm Mark Rumsey. A longtime voice in the effort to protect and improve the Catawba River Basin is stepping down. Rick Gaskins, the executive director of the Catawba Riverkeeper Foundation, leaves in June. Gaskins is a Charlotte attorney who started as a volunteer with the group shortly after it formed in 1998. His love of the water developed early in life.
As a young child, my parents pretty much locked me outside during the summer and said I couldn't come back in till dinner time, and I spent most of my summers playing in creeks.
Today, Rick Gaskins' view of the Charlotte region's river and lake system is more complex.
Well, certainly, probably one of the biggest influences on how the river works or doesn't work is Duke Energy, because they operate the dams, they operate 3 coal-fired power plants on the river, they operate 2 nuclear plants on the river, and then South Carolina Electric and Gas actually has another power plant down on the Watery River. So it has a big influence, and we sometimes say we're the most electrified river in the United States.
And does that inherently create environmental problems?
Well, it creates different priorities. So we're unusual that a very high percentage of the water that's consumed on the river is consumed to generate electricity. So when you generate power with coal or nuclear energy, particularly, you use a lot of water. And, you know, one of the impacts of urbanization is as we get more and more asphalt, more and more rooftops, the droughts are more severe. And when it rains, the flooding is more severe because the water runs off so quickly. So when it rains, if you have an acre of forest, you get very little runoff. You get about 26,000 gallons per inch of rain off an acre of asphalt.
So that alludes to a huge issue, and that is the growth of the Charlotte region and how to manage it and its impact on the total environment, including the rivers and the lakes. Mountain Island Lake, of course, is the primary drinking water source for Charlotte. How much more growth and development can this region withstand?
So the answer to that is I think we're going to have the growth. And it's a question of how the growth is done. So it's not so much a question of how much growth can we handle, is how do we do that growth. And I think the good news is there are ways to do growth that could actually improve our environment. We can design our communities differently. We can create incentives for developers to include more buffer zone, more greenways. I think that makes it a little more livable place, might even attract more people. We have plenty of rain in this region. There's really plenty of water falling out of the sky. It's just a question of being smarter about how we use it.
When it comes to energy production and environmental concerns, we've heard lots and lots, especially in the last year and a half or so, about coal ash since the Dan River spill. Does the concern about coal ash, in your opinion, warrant the level of attention that issue has received?
I think the coal ash issue is an important issue for a couple of reasons. One, it is contaminating our water on a daily basis. The idea that somebody can discharge toxins into our drinking water reservoir is kind of on the surface kind of surprising. Second issue is the threat of a failure, like you had at Dan River or you had in Tennessee, that could be a catastrophic threat to our source of drinking water. If we mess up the Catawba River, that is the primary source of drinking water for about 2 million people.
Is the state of North Carolina, specifically the Department of Environment and Natural Resources, at this point going too easy on Duke Energy with regards to coal ash?
What a lot of people don't realize is there was a court order in place prior to the legislation and prior to some of the very well-publicized fines that required all of the ash ponds in North Carolina at utility sites, which are all leaking and have all contaminated groundwater, required all of those to be cleaned up immediately. In a sense, the legislation has reduced or moved back the time schedule for that, and potentially some of those ash ponds won't be cleaned up. It isn't clear exactly how that legislation will be interpreted for sites that get designated as low-priority sites. and if the ash will actually have to be moved into lined disposal facilities from those sites.
Rick Gaskins is the longtime executive director of the Catawba River Foundation. He'll be leaving that position in June. Mr. Gaskins, thanks for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.